I want to look with you today at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Today is Pentecost Sunday. If you were in Sunday school, you got a lesson on the Holy Spirit. And the promise that the Holy Spirit is for each of us. And I'm going to look at these verses from that perspective this morning, with the perspective in mind of the power of the Holy Spirit in our life and what He desires to do with us and in us and through us. And the work of the Holy Spirit to revive us. Brother Ken sang, "Revive us again. Let each soul be rekindled with fire from above." That's what we need. We need that revival experience. I remember Brother Hampton preaching here once. He was preaching about revival, or at the beginning of the revival, he told this story about revival, and he said he went to a church, and this lady got up to sing. And the song she was singing, it had the word revival in it, but she wouldn't say revival. She just said vival, vival, vival. And Brother Hampton made the point that we can stay in a continual state of being alive. But there is a need for revival. She was saying, I've got the life in me. And that's true, but we often need revival. We need revival in our hearts and our minds. And so I want to look with you here this morning here in 2 Timothy. I'm sorry, I'm still in Sunday school, not the book of Acts. We went through that in Sunday school. But 2 Timothy chapter 1, I'm going to read the first few verses here for context, but my main text is verse 6 and 7. So looking here at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Pray with me. Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray that you'll bless this word today. I pray for your anointing, that it would be upon it. Help me to speak what the Spirit would say. And Lord, anoint the ears of these people to hear what the Spirit would say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When we look at these verses here, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. That word gift is the same word that we experience and we see in Corinthians, various places, when God is talking about the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit, when He gives. In Corinthians, we have those nine gifts of the Spirit. In Ephesians, we have the five gifts to the church and the offices of the church. And these are the gifts of grace that God gives to his people. And so he's saying to Timothy, Timothy, I want you to stir up these gifts that come by on Pentecost Sunday, these gifts that come by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, to stir up these gifts. Paul's talking to Timothy here. He said, I want you to stir up these gifts of grace that come by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. In verse 7, it says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Now, that word spirit there is the word pneuma. It's the same word when you follow through a study of the Holy Spirit. When you see the Spirit in Scripture, that breath, the pneuma, the breath of God. Now, in this verse, it seems a little out of place there because he says, God has not given us the spirit of fear. So let me say it a little different way. The spirit that God has given you is not a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit. He's given us his spirit, the breath of God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the overflowing, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He has given it to every believer, and it is not a spirit of fear. And so Paul is telling Timothy here, you've got gifts. You've got the indwelling baptism of the Holy Ghost in your life. So Timothy, what are you waiting on? What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? We as Pentecostals, we don't need to necessarily just celebrate the climactic experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but we need to be celebrating the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in our church, to celebrate what God is doing by the power of his Holy Spirit in our lives. And we should be saying, Lord, we want the gifts to be stirred up in my life individually. I want the gifts to be stirred up in our church corporately. I want the gifts to be stirred up across this nation in churches far and wide, because we need the gifts of the Holy Ghost operating among us. Paul's telling Timothy, he's saying, Timothy, you've got to stir it up. You need to kindle this fire. You need to fan this flame. You've got to stir this. You know, when you go camping, one of the funnest things about camping is building a fire. How many pyromaniacs we have in here? Yeah, I figured David Zocco, he's been a long time pyromaniac. He comes from a long line of them. Yeah, we got out camping a few years ago. Aaron and Jackie were there. We were there. And we was getting ready to build a fire. And Aaron gets out of his truck. You know, he's a construction guy. He gets out of his truck. We're over there building a fire. And he pulls out that 20-pound propane tank with a torch on the end of it. And he said, here, Greg, get that fire going with this. You talk about getting it going fast. Getting it going fast. We also, when we were camping, you know, sometimes you got to fan those flames. Those embers died down, so we had a little electronic compressor, just a little compressor that blow a little bit of air, just enough, you know, to blow up that bicycle tire. Take that little thing. You didn't have to wear out your cheeks, get down there real close to it and take a chances on sucking in a few ashes. It just, and if you really want to get it going, get your blower out. Anybody ever use a blower? Yes, I knew David would shake his, yes, get the blower out. Get that backpack blower out, even bigger. That'll get it going. You know, I remember when I was a kid, Dad had me and Dane clearing some brush over off Spurlock Subdivision over here off of 4th Street. And we had cleared that brush, and Dad was there, folks. So I'm blaming it on him. You know, I'm 10, 12, I don't know. Dane's a teenager. We're stupid, okay? We're just dumb. Dad puts gas on it. Well, listen at him. Well, you know, for some reason, you know, if you wait to light the fire after you put the gas on there, that's a bad thing to do. Because for some reason, I don't know why we stood around and let that, because those fumes began to seep out of that pile of brush. And when Dad put that match on that, it went, I fell to the ground to dodge the flames. I don't know what anybody else did. Did she punch him? We need the fire, folks. I'm reminded of my Papaw Collins. On his 90th birthday, they had him preach there at Guest River Pentecostal Church, and we went over to hear him preach. And he had been in this thing, folks, since 1928. But it was his 95th birthday. What birthday was it? Whatever it was. He had been in it a long time. He got up there and preached, but he kept coming back. And he would say, what the church needs today is the power of the Holy Ghost. What the church needs today is the power of the Holy Ghost. And he would get wound up, and he would be preaching this direction, and he would get to this end, and he would say, what the church needs today is the power of the Holy Ghost. And he would turn, and he would run to the other side of the church, and he'd start preaching again. And he'd make his way across the church, and he would preach till he got to this side again. And about the time he got here, he'd say it again. What the church needs today is the power of the Holy Ghost. And he would spin at 91. 1 year old and run across that platform, because the reality is that it doesn't matter how long we've been in this thing, we need to stir up the gift. We need to stir up the gift of the Holy Ghost. I've been in Pentecost all my life, but I haven't seen a fraction of what God gave me as a vision of what could happen. How about you? Do we have it where we need it right now? Is it right where it ought to be right now? We need to stir it up. There's more for us than what we are experiencing. And that's what Paul was saying to Timothy. Timothy, you've got a lot of good things. I want to try to keep it together here today. I'm going to talk about this context of the scripture here in that God is speaking to Timothy. And then I want to do a little word study there about stir it up. And then I want to talk about, give you a little application of what we need to do as a church. What was Paul doing for Timothy in this situation? His fire obviously was burning down. How does a fire burn down? It burns down over time. You just let it sit there. Just let it sit there. It'll burn out. It'll go down. We go camping, and if you're conscientious the next morning, you can get out there and you can get that fire going again without a match, because there's some coals that are there. But overnight, it has went down. It has waned. It has ebbed. And there was a need in Timothy's life, because the fire had burned down. Time had passed on his experience. Maybe there was lack of fuel. Maybe there was discouragement. Maybe, you know, sometimes fires go out because you pour water on it. You use a fire extinguisher to put out that fire. Maybe something around in Timothy's life. And I believe that it was so. There were some hardships he was facing. There was some difficulty that had come his way. And because of those hardships, because of those difficulties, because of the separation that he had from his mentor, Paul, because of different things that had come his way, he was in need of revival. He was in need of stirring things up. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what caused you to get in a place of needing to be stirred. And Paul wasn't really getting onto him so much as encouraging him. As I was studying, I read a quote from D.L. Moody, and D.L. Moody said, God never uses a discouraged person. Well, D.L. Moody, that's not very nice. That's the way I would say it. God doesn't use a discouraged person, Timothy. That's not what Paul said. Even though he was discouraged, even though he had had hardships, even though there were difficulties in his life, Paul didn't say, well, you're discouraged, man. You just got to get it together. No, Paul said, stir it up, Timothy. Stir it up. There's something there. Stir up the life of the Spirit that God has given you. And I don't know what it is in your life. In Timothy's life, there were lots of things coming against him. There were a lot of issues. Some people may say, well, Timothy wasn't an on-fire kind of guy, I don't think. If you just read 1 and 2 Timothy, he was kind of more quiet. He wasn't Henry Collins running across the platform. He was another kind of preacher. He was different. So he could have said, well, that's just me. I'm just not. Well, just stirring the flame doesn't mean you're going to run across the platform. But the move of the Holy Ghost will be real. Timothy, I don't know what it is in your life. Has time passed since you have given yourself to seeking for the Holy Spirit in your life? Has time passed since you had that experience? You know, I wonder every day of my life where I've come to at 53 going on 54. How did I get here? And my experiences are further in the past than they've ever been. And I live on those experiences. That experience I had at youth camp when I was 14, I'll live on that the rest of my life. Because there's an ember there that when I need to get back where I need to go, I say, God, do that again. Do that sanctifying work again. Blow the wind of the Spirit on those embers in my life and do that again. Time has passed and brought me away from it, and I don't need to forget it. And that's one thing Paul said. I bring to remembrance, Timothy. I remember a lot of good about you, Timothy. I remember a lot of good about you. I remember, oh, Timothy, I've prayed for you. Timothy, I've prayed for you. Timothy, I remember your service and for all that you've done. I remember that, and I desire to see you. Man, Timothy, I'd love to be there with you. Verse 4. He said, and I'm praying for you, and I'm my tears are running. I'm filled with joy at what I know God can do in your life. Timothy, I know where you've come from. I know who you are. Verse 5, he says, I remember the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Timothy, you have a heritage. I look back at your mama and grandma. Timothy, there is an ember of testimony. There is an ember of faithfulness. There is an ember of an understanding of the Word of God and the moving of the Holy Ghost. Timothy, I remember it. And oh, the things that he did for them, God is going to do it for you. And so he says in verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance also. Timothy, don't forget where you came from. Don't forget what God has done. I have the privilege of, I feel privileged beyond belief to be able to say, somebody could say for me, I remember your mama, Mike and Peggy. I remember your grandpa, Doris and Elroy. And I remember your grandpa, Henry and Della, and the heritage that you have. And I have even more reason to stir up the gift that has been given to me. There's a heritage here. We have a heritage here at First Pentecostal Church, 1907. A group of believers wanted the deeper life. They wanted to have that experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And we know that the Holy Ghost was poured out down on that livery stable on Broad Street back in 1907. And God birthed this very congregation, this church. And you can look through the years of how God poured His Spirit out. So whether you had a grandpa or a grandma that was in it or not, you're in this church today. And you know what? You've got a heritage in this experience with the gifts of the Holy Ghost, with the breath of the Holy Spirit, living and moving in a church. We have a heritage. Paul was an encourager. He wasn't like Moody, just said, God doesn't use somebody discouraged. I'm kind of that way. I need to be more like Paul. Timothy, it's there. It's there, buddy. It's there. Timothy, it's there. You've got it. You've got this experience. And even though difficulties have come, even though situations have arose, Paul said in 2 Timothy, he encouraged him, be a good soldier. He used the analogy of an athlete. Keep training. Keep working hard. He used the analogy of a farmer and said, you keep working and be patient about what God is doing. And he talked about a minister for the kingdom kingdom of God. And he said, you've got to keep going, Timothy. You can't quit. You've got to keep going. We've got to do the same thing. God is expecting things from this church. He's expecting things from you and me that only he's called only you and me to do. And it's our responsibility to say, I will get in line with God, what God wants to do in my life and in my church. Paul used those words. He said, stir it up. Verse 8, he said, don't be ashamed of it. In verse 8, he also said, you be a partaker of the afflictions. Problems are going to come, but don't let that cause you to give up. You just embrace it more when problems come. Don't let the problems get you down. In verse 13, he said, hold fast. In verse 14, he said, keep. In chapter 2, verse 1, he said, be strong. In chapter 2, verse 3, he said, endure hardness. In chapter 2, verse 15, he said, study to show yourself approved unto God. In chapter 2, verse 22, he said, flee youthful lust and follow righteousness. He wanted him to do that. Paul was encouraging him, Timothy, there's a work to do. There's a place for you in the kingdom of God. You've got to stir up the gift of the Holy Ghost that is given to you. Paul reminded Timothy of his heritage, his unfeigned faith. He reminded him of his unfeigned faith. He reminded him of his heritage of faith. And he reminded him of the gifts of grace that God had given him. It's all from God, folks. It's all from God. Paul needed to tell Timothy. He needed to tell Timothy to stay in there. Because Paul had already had a faithful friend, Demas. Paul said, he's forsaken me, having loved this present world. He got the best of him. Time, hardship, ambition, got the best of Demas. But Paul said, I know what God has done for you. And I want to encourage you to stir up the gifts. Stir up the gifts that are in you. Stir up the gifts that are in you. So I want to look for a minute here at this word, stir up the gift. This word is only used here in this chapter. That's the only place, this Greek word. Now, how do I know Greek? Because I know how to use a computer. I know how to use Bible study software. I don't know Greek, but I can look up words. And I can consider what the definitions say and what they mean. This word is only used once in the New Testament. And when you connect the New Testament with the Old Testament, the same word is only used once in the Old Testament. The same word is only used once in the Old Testament. Let me see if I can help Daryl out. I gave him some scriptures. Let's see how bad I've thrown him off. Yeah, I've missed a few, Brother Daryl. Let's move on to Genesis. Genesis chapter 45. This word is only used once in the Old Testament. The connection between the Greek translation of the Old Testament connects it to the Hebrew words. And we have this story in Genesis of Jacob. Jacob has come to his life, and he spent a life of his life for the last 17 years has been a life of despondency, discouragement, and just trying to survive and get through another day. Anybody ever feel like that? He's at the last 17 years because we know his favorite son in his mind has died, and he has mourned for 17 years. We know the story of the sons going down there to get food and Joseph, you know, playing with them, proving them and testing them and finally revealing himself to these brothers. And these brothers come back. They come back to their father there in Genesis chapter 40. I'm trying to get there, folks. Chapter 46. Chapter 45. And they've come back and they have been excited about what they're doing. And it says in verse 26, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. He wasn't going to hear anything they said. None of what they said mattered to him. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons, he saw this unbelievable wagon load after wagon load of gifts. What does God give the church? Wagon load after wagon load of gifts. In the individuals that sit in these pews, in the gifts of the Spirit that are lined out for us in the New Testament, he's given us wagon loads and wagon loads of gifts. And it says that when he saw the wagons which Joseph sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. There was a stirring up of life that he had not experienced in years when he recognized and saw this gift. This gift that has come has brought life. And so Paul is saying, stir up that gift. Stir up that gift. There are gifts there, Timothy. There are things. There is the life of the Spirit is there at your disposal. Just stir it up. Just stir it up. Jacob had been in discouragement. Timothy had been in discouragement. Both of these passages compare people that were in despondency and fear. That's what Paul addressed in verse 7 with Timothy, was he said, the spirit God has given you is not a spirit of fear. It's not a spirit of discouragement. That's not God's intention, and that is not God's plan. But God has given you everything that you need. Jacob's vitality and life had gone. Gloom and despair had dominated his thinking. Survival was the only thing that he could think of. Prospering was nowhere in his vision. Even the words about Joseph being alive did not encourage him. But the fact of those gifts that were there, the living, indwelling Spirit of God that is in you and me, are the embers we need. That's all we need to have revival. That's all we need, is the embers of the Spirit in our life. That earnest inheritance of the Spirit that he's given us, that is all that we need. This word in the New Testament is a compound word. It comes from three words. Stir up. It comes from three. It's a compound word. In our King James translation, it's two words, stir up. In the Greek, it's three compound words put together. The first one is a preposition that kind of gives the idea to separate out, to account for, to bring to recognition. So what Paul is saying when he says stir up, look down in there and find there's something real. Look down in there and find the real. Separate the discouragement from the Spirit of God. Separate the problems and the hardship from the Spirit of God. It's all part of your life right now, Timothy, but you need to see the embers of the Holy Spirit in your life. You need to see the power of the Holy Ghost in your life. You need to see what he desires to do. Look and separate those things out, Timothy, and find the good stuff in there. Go back to that testimony of your grandmother and your mother. Go back to them laying on the hands when you sat there and I laid hands on you. Maybe it was in his ordination. Maybe it was when he got filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't know what it is, but he's saying, Timothy, look back on your life. See the blessing of God. Separate it out. Get it separated. Because sometimes we let all the problems of this world get us in a place to where we can't see through the difficulties of what God wants to do. But God wants to fill us. He wants to bring us up above. And so he wants to separate it out and get it up to the top. When you rebuild that fire, when it's been gone out all night, they're underneath some ashes and you can't even see the glow. You don't even see it. All you see is black ashes. But you get that stick and you start stirring it up. And down underneath is there's an ember. There's a coal. There's something that is the living power of God. And that's the other thing. You're going to go down there and find that, and not just find something that is your own, but the second part of that word, the first one is the preposition that's saying to separate out. The second one is that word, it's the Greek word zoon, which gives us the word of animal or beast in the New Testament and in the Old Testament as well. But the majority of the time in Scripture, when that word is used, it's referring to angelic beings, which are spiritual beings, not just created animals. The majority of the time in Scripture, when it's talking about that, those spiritual beings. And so I think what Paul is saying, there's something, it's not just an ember, but it's alive. There's a living spirit. There's a living presence. That's what the Holy Ghost is. It's the living Spirit of God, the eternal Spirit of God that indwells me and lives in me. And as the baptism comes, it overflows me. And Jesus said it will be a river of living water that flows from within. And so Paul is saying, get down there and find that. Go back to that experience. Get a hold of what was there and get it up to the top to where that you can stir it up, to where that you can stir it up. And then that's the third part of that word, that it's the fire to stir up. Even though the King James doesn't say anything about fire, that Greek word does say we're stirring up a fire. That's what we're stirring up. It's the ember, the power. And what did Peter say? He said he would baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And so God is encouraging Timothy, get it. Look, whatever discouragement has come to you, whatever problems you're facing in your life, whatever hardships are coming, you got to get down underneath it. You got to get those coals of fire pushed up to the top to where that you can let the breath of God breathe on that again and let the flame of His Spirit rise to the effectiveness that He wants it to be in your life. The reality of the Spirit with it. God is a God of revival. And I love Paul's attitude here. Timothy, it's there. You just got to get a hold of it. Timothy, it's there. You've just got to get a hold of it. You know, and I don't stand up here as some paramount figure of Holy Ghost fire. I have disobeyed the Holy Ghost more than I've obeyed, folks. Now, the Lord's used me, and I'm grateful for it. But I've disobeyed Him, and I have quenched the Spirit of God in my life. And we all are in that place. And Timothy probably had quenched the Holy Spirit, but Paul wasn't saying, well, buddy, you know, if you'd have done that back 10 years ago, God could use you now, but this, I don't know if God can use you. No, Paul didn't go back and say 10 years ago. He said 10 years ago there was an ember. 15 years ago, there was an ember. When you got saved in the living room with your mom and dad, there was an ember. Timothy, there, it's there. Don't live on the past failures. Look at the past of what God did for you and let that bring to the surface what God wants to do now. God wants to renew our life. He wants to renew the flame. He wants to renew His Spirit in our lives. I remember this happened a few years ago. There was a young person that didn't go to our church that would go to youth camp with us and went a couple years. So they didn't go to our church. And so the next year, the counselor was in the dorm, and the first night service was about to happen. And this young person said, oh, I'm so excited about church tonight. I haven't felt the Holy Ghost in a year. It's just sad. But you know what he was doing? Even though he'd been going to a church that didn't stir it up, He was saying, I'm here now. I'm here now. I'm ready for it to stir. I'm ready for it to move. I'm ready for it to flame up. I don't want to pass up this opportunity. I don't want to quench the Spirit. And so God's not looking at us and saying, well, you've squandered your opportunities. He didn't look at Jacob and say, Jacob, well, you're just going to die in despondency and despair. No, God sent the proof of His Son was still alive. God has put His Spirit within us to bear witness with our spirit. And I don't have any, you know, as far as being filled with the Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know, we are all at different levels of what God's doing in our lives, and we just need to rejoice with each other with what God is doing in us. And some of you are in a level where God's using you in remarkable ways. Other of us are in places where we need to grow, but we as a church need to have the same mindset together. We're going to stir it up. If I can stir it up in you, and you stir it up in me, and let the Spirit of God have His way. We don't want to neglect what God is doing. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy, neglect not the gifts. Don't neglect it. Don't put it off. The Holy Ghost is real in every believer's life. And His gift, He wants to give His gift of the baptism to every believer. There's no big I's and little U's when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We are all, God wants to give good gifts to all of His children. And Jesus told us, he said, how many of you fathers, if he asks bread, will you give him a stone? No, not at all. If he asks a fish, will you give him a serpent? No. Jesus followed that up by saying, how much more will God give the Holy Ghost to them that ask? More than every mom and dad in here wants to give the best of their kids, our Heavenly Father wants to give the best of Himself, His Holy Spirit, to every one of us. And don't you doubt it for a minute. And I don't know where you are. You know, some people pray for the Holy Ghost for years and years and years. And I don't know that I can stand up here and tell why, but I'm not going to point fingers at you and say, well, you know, this and this is your problem. No, I just want you to continue in let the indwelling Spirit of God just be real in your life. And as you seek for more of Him, He's going to fill you. He will. He will fill you with the Holy Ghost. Don't be discouraged, Timothy, if the embers have died down. But let it come. And so I just want to encourage you now with a few things that we can do individually. One thing, Jesus, when He came to His disciples in John chapter 20, it says He breathed on them and said, receive ye the gift of the Holy Ghost. So I want you to know right now, He wants you to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Without question, He wants you to receive it. We need to allow ourselves to walk in the Spirit. We need to allow ourselves to take care of the sin that's in our life. We need to repent of sin that's in our lives and make sure that we are right before God. We need to be dissatisfied with ourselves and our flesh and be yearning for more of God. We need to pursue the gifts of the Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You say, well, do I have to wait to get baptized with the Holy Ghost for God to use me? No, just start going where God can use you. Just go where God can use you. Find a place where, go where a gift is needed. Go where, you say, well, I haven't been baptized. Well, I don't know how God does it, but He uses us before and after we're filled with the Holy Ghost. And the more I seek Him, the more He's going to use me. And the more I seek Him, the more He'll use me and the more He'll fill me. And He will give us the overflowing outpouring of His Holy Spirit. If we earnestly desire the best gifts, if we come into His presence anticipating a move of the presence of the Spirit of God, if we will overcome our fear, our pride, our doubt. That's what Paul was telling Timothy. He said that you would That God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If we would let the fear, the pride, the doubt fall by the wayside and say, Lord, I'm going to boldly stir up the fire that you have given me. I'm going to boldly stir up the spirit that's in my life. I'm going to begin to witness. I'm going to begin to be sensitive to the guidance of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to be looking for opportunities for the Holy Ghost to work in my life. I'm going to lean on the Holy Ghost every day, every step of the way. I'm going to take steps of faith. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit teach me. I'm going to get into the Word of God and let His Word teach me. I'm going to come to church and let the preaching of the Word teach me. I'm going to find myself on my knees in prayer, seeking for the power of God in my life, and I'm going to let God get the glory from me. We don't seek for the stir up the gifts of the Spirit so that people can look at us and say, oh, look what he did. Oh, look, he prayed for so-and-so and they got healed. That's not why we seek for the Holy Ghost. We seek for the Holy Ghost so that he can be exalted. We seek for the Holy Ghost so that he can be lifted up. We seek for the Holy Ghost so that he can get the glory for his work in his church. Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift. And folks, I am in more need of a stirring than I think anybody in here. So I'm not here to tell any of you, you need to get up to where I am. I hope you're past me, but I need a stirring of the Holy Ghost. I need the stirring of His Spirit. I need to be more sensitive. I need to walk in the Spirit every day and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I need to do those things. I need it. And so I'm thankful for Paul's encouragement to Timothy to stir up the gift which is in thee. Stir up the gift. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand together. Lord, I thank you for your word that draws us to revival. For your word that speaks to us that there are better things. For your word that shows us a life in the Spirit that we can have. And Lord, I want to experience that. I want to have it in me. Lord, I don't want to be weighed in the balance and found wanting that I did not use the gift that you gave me to its fullest measure in the dependence of your Spirit. Lord, help me to be obedient. Lord, help this church to see the many avenues of work that you want to accomplish in our community through the power of the Holy Ghost in the life of every believer. Lord, stir up that gift. Stir up that gift and let it come alive like on that day of Pentecost when the whole city was stirred because of what you were doing. It didn't bring glory and honor to any of them, but Lord, it lifted you up and souls were saved. Lord, that's what we want to see in this church. Stir up that gift of the Holy Ghost in us. Stir it up in this place, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's come in this altar and let's find us a place to pray and make